This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios on the bench. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212-4CBS-4227. Doing More is brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do projects smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Let's take a look at a player who's doing more for his team. There was a big argument in here tonight, and it looks as though Carver High and Mafia have won. Because I wanted to go with Kutch, Andrew McCutchen, with a three-run blast and an RBI ground out. But Carver High wins with the Giancarlo Stanton two-home run effort, 31 and 32 on a year, and three RBIs in the Marlins' 4-0 win at Texas over the Rangers.
Go with the game that's already concluded. That's why I did that. Andrew McCutchen's still in progress.
Still in progress, so he could end up having a huge night.
He could end up, they could come back and he could have the error that causes the Giants to win, so we can't give him the player of the night yet if he
ends
up.
Are you putting like a botchy jinx on my boy?
I'm not. I'm just giving you a reason why a game currently in progress I don't usually give the player of the night to.
Giancarlo Stanton doing more for his team. Doing More brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement. With everything you need to do project smarter, The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. I can tell you this. Ever since I moved, I've been going to Home Depot a lot. And a lot of things are happening at Home Depot with Pharrell. A lot of projects. I'm doing more. I am honestly, it is just, you name it, I'm projects, I'm doing them smarter. I'm saving, I'm doing everything.
I'll be there soon.
What is the status on the Carver High cape update?
It's getting there. Slowly but surely, it's getting there.
So the word on the street is that you've purchased a house.
In the process of.
So you're being reserving judgment until all things are finalized.
Until they hand me a set of keys and I open the door, I'm going to, you know, not say that it's mine yet, so.
But you're in the process. You signed it. Now it's lawyer in the hands of lawyers.
We're in the legal process.
And that journey now adds time to your commute? Is that what you're telling me?
It will add a little bit of time.
A lot of time?
A little bit of time. Going there probably add 20 minutes.
So 20 more going home.
No, 20 going there. Coming here, I mean, I should say.
Well, so coming in is 20 more minutes.
Going home probably 10 more.
Is that suggesting that you speed going home at night?
No,
there's
it's
just
suggesting
less traffic.
That at that time of night, there's nobody on the road.
Except drunks.
Yeah, we avoid those.
Have you ever noticed at night when you drive home how many there are?
I've seen them.
They're out swerving.
Yes.
But it's easier to get around them because there's no one else around, right? Mafia and I are always dodging them like pinball. So Mama Carver, is she excited about the house?
She is.
What about Olivia?
She's very excited. She's going to have her own room now, so that's good for her.
Oh, so before she would just sleep in the room with you guys?
Well, her crib is in our bedroom.
Right.
Now we'll have more space.
How is that going? Does she sleep more?
Well, she's been sleeping for 5 months now.
She just sleeps, no problem.
At night, she sleeps every night.
She goes to bed and wakes up in the morning.
She goes to bed between 8 and 9, wakes up between 6:30, 7:30 the next morning.
Boom. So now you don't even need an alarm clock because you get her to wake you up and then you go to the garage.
Well, it depends on what day of the week it is, but if there's a day where I'm not going to the garage, my wife has to wake me up when she leaves for work.
Right.
Because the baby's up and
so you
gone.
Said this weekend you had four sporting events going at once.
I did, Saturday night.
What was that?
Saturday night, everybody went to bed. Actually, my wife went out Saturday night with her friends. So it was just me and the baby at home.
Girls' night out.
And I put the baby to bed at normal time around 8:30.
Right.
And then I had the Yankee game on. I had the UFC on.
Boom.
And then on a couple of iPads, I had the USA Costa Rica game.
Boom.
And I had the World Series of Poker final table. I had everything going on at once.
And the guy from New Jersey won.
Yeah, he did.
Well, what makes you laugh about that? What was so funny about it?
I just thought the guy that came in second just was played terribly the entire night. I didn't stay up for that whole thing. That ended around 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. But the hands that I watched in the early going, the guy that came in second really, I think his name was Ott. He really had opportunities to take chips off the guy, and he did not, so.
So the guy was 25 years old, and he had two diamonds in his hand. And then there were two hearts.
That was the last hand of the night, I believe. He made an unbelievable bluff call on the guy early on, and that killed the kid. So they were both 25. They're both kids, I mean. But
first time ever he's been in the World Series of Poker, he won it.
And then I saw another story tonight where a bunch of his buddies from college bought in on that. Because this happens with a lot of guys who aren't pros yet. They have guys buy in shares for the 10 grand. So a bunch of his buddies from college gave him 60 bucks each or something like that to help towards the 10 grand, and they all got like 40 grand out of it because he won 8 million. So all those buddies of his from college that gave him 60 bucks towards his entry fee, they're getting a nice 41K back of investment. That's nice.
So the guy that lost got 4.7 million.
Yeah, what a shame.
The guy was from Pittsburgh, the guy that lost.
Played terribly that night.
Had 93% chance to win the hand and flip the power of balance. The river card, the two of hearts, one of three deuces left in the deck, appeared and suddenly ended the tournament. There you go. Some guy from New Jersey.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. All right, I want to get to this guy. Ernie in Greenville, South Carolina, and then I'll get everybody on. Chill. Ernie's first, though, to talk about the rule on the 20-minute wait on 13. You're on CBS Sports Radio, Ernie.
Hey, guys. Hey, it just seemed like everybody's sitting around thinking the cooch just said, hey, you know, take your time. Well, there is rules and procedures that go along with it. I mean, first, there's 5 minutes. You get 5 minutes to look for the golf ball.
I know that.
All right. Then he had to look at the lie and see if he could hit it, you know, and assess that, and then, you know, take a look at what angle he had. And so that's another 2 or 3 minutes. And he decided on the unplayable lie, talks to the official, and just says, all right, you have the right to go back as far as you want on the same line as where that ball was. In going back as far as he wanted, he ended up in the equipment trailers. That was the line, okay? And he took advantage of the rule where – You get relief from the trailers, and voila, the relief that he got from the trailers that he wanted is the driving range. And so, you know, there's 5 minutes to look around the trailers to see if there's a place you can hit from. You can't. Then he goes over and he drops the ball, and he also has to, again, take a look at his angle when he's hitting the ball. So cumulatively, yeah, any player would have gone through that, and it would have taken roughly 20 minutes. It wasn't just, you know, Kuchar saying, hey, take your time. You know, that was a logical progression of what you have to do, and that happens all the time. It just happened to be, you know, at a major tournament in, you know, the most, you know, pressure-packed period of. But that is a typical approach. Sometimes it seems ridiculously long, but that's...
I'm sorry I missed it. I walked in on 14, so I had just missed it, and I didn't... I guess I didn't catch on to what had happened moments earlier. I walked in when they were on the 14th green.
I mean, you know, we've all been there, you know, with whatever sport we play, you know, the wheels have come off completely. We're Kobe over 17. And... you know, to turn it around like that, you know, when you're drowning, you know, and then to turn the switch and be able to dig deep and, you know, in, like you said, on that course, in that pressure, to hit those shots the next few holes, I mean, that's just really rare, right? I mean,
for sure, without a doubt, those, that eagle and birdie, those putts were sick. And that's that. I mean, that was it. Game over. When you step up and make 48-foot putts, it's over. So it was very impressive. I don't have anything, to say about him other than, you know, he's a great golfer. And I'm not, sure if I like him or if I don't like him. I'm neutral on him. It's just the weirdest thing. Are you willing to say that, Carver High, as well? Good hearing from you, Ernie.
It's funny you say it like that, because I sat there yesterday thinking almost the same exact thing. There's times...
Trying to decide if you liked him or
not? There are times where I cannot stand to watch Jordan Spieth play golf. I feel there's times he takes forever to hit the ball, and I don't like the way he gets so mad. He does a lot of old Tiger stuff where he gets mad or he yells or he smacks the club down. He does a lot of that stuff. And listen, we all cry for more personalities in golf. We want more guys who show emotion and
right.
do things like that. But then, like, when he did hit the eagle, like, looking at the caddy, pick that up. I don't know. That it was a little too much for me. It was. But
I thought he was, like, going, what was that?
I thought you said pick the ball up. He was, like, looking at his caddy, pick up the ball.
What was
whatever.
That?
But
I thought he was pointing for the crowd to
I
look
really
and go,
can't,
what was that? That was an eagle.
I can't cry about it because I always say there should be more personalities in golf. There's just times that he rubs you the wrong way, I feel like. But he's really good. He might be the best player in the game right now. And he's fun to watch at times, but sometimes he can be excruciating.
So you think he's better than Dustin Johnson?
I think he's better than Dustin Johnson.
Mafia, who do you think's better?
By the way, we've seen them in their career so far. I mean, at least in the last couple of years, since kind of Tiger's completely been gone, and who's the next one with the mantle? I kind of like Spieth a little bit better. I think he has a little bit more personality, and he's shown a little more consistency to me than Johnson. Johnson can be the best, obviously number one in the world. He's one of the best players there is, and can just dominate. But at times, he's just complete opposite. He just falls off. I think Spieth has been more consistent early in his career than DJ has been.
There you go, Steve in Florida. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, I played Royal Birkdale 3 times.
Right.
I played it once in 1972 when I was in high school.
Wow.
Shot an 86.
That's nice.
It was tough. It was a very tough course. Wind was blowing out all kind of crazy places.
Right.
But then I played it again in 2003. I played it 2 days in a row. The first day, I shot an 81, and the wind was really tough. The second day, the wind was more favorable, and I shot a 74.
Wow. That's incredible. I would have quit right then. I would have been done my career.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that I'm an amateur golfer, and the thing about it is, the 74 I shot, I keep track of all my golf scores and all my rounds and what I've done on every hole and everything.
Right.
In 1972, I hit the golf ball probably 5 times better than I did in 2003 on the second day.
Right.
But it was just the fact that the course was more favorable to me on that day.
Right.
And that's a difference of 12 strokes.
Yeah, I believe it.
Offer, but it's just the fact that the course was more favorable to me on that day.
I get it. So did you find that it was the going over there and playing there and those courses over there, is that just... I mean, it's way better than playing here, isn't it? Wasn't it like the greatest experience of your golfing career?
I played Augusta. I've played Pebble Beach. I've played five or six of the U.S. Open courses in America, but there is nothing like British golf, or not just British golf, because that was a British course. Because I've also played St. Andrews. The golf courses there, it's man against nature.
Right.
It truly is. Every day you tee it up, it's man against nature. You can't sit there and say, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. You know, one day you might be hitting a 1 iron off the tee, and the next day you can hit a driver. You know, it's just the way that the wind's going.
Yeah, it makes it impossible. Every day is different with the weather and the winds. It's real golf, and it's shots that are almost impossible to hit. I'm glad you did so well there, Steve. Back with Helene Elliott of the L.A. Times next.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
855-212-4227 to get on the bench. Let's go out to Los Angeles. The esteemed columnist, Helene Elliott, joins us from the L.A. Times to talk about the Dodgers situation. How are you, Helene?
I'm great. How are you?
It's great to have you back on the bench. I got to ask you, what did you think of my Penguins, my beloved Penguins, winning back-to-back Stanley Cups?
That was just amazing. People don't realize how difficult it is and how long a season it was, particularly for guys like Crosby, who played in the World Cup in September. You know, before the whole season and before the whole playoffs. So, yeah, that was a pretty amazing accomplishment for them.
Right. It was – I can't even believe it. So the other day we were – so I moved, right, and I'd lived in this house for like a decade, and I bought another house. And my wife grew up in the house as a child, so I bought it, blah, blah, blah. We're moving in. And then we were moving like heavy furniture that we were getting rid of, right, in the basement. And – this giant chest was, we were lifting this thing, and it was against a wall. And as we were lifting this thing, it weighed like 300 pounds. My buddy and I were lifting it, and we had like three of us trying to lift this thing. And I noticed that my replica Stanley Cup was against the wall, and it was like being pressured by this piece of furniture. And I yelled out, my wife was there, and I yelled out, "Put it down, my Stanley Cup! Put it down! Don't touch the Stanley Cup!" And my wife's like, "What's wrong with you?" And I'm like, "Don't tell me that. It's the Stanley Cup. You have no idea what you're talking about. I don't care about your chest, your stupid furniture. It's the Stanley Cup."
You got your priorities straight.
That's right. And then I put it down, and I grabbed the cup, and I put it up on a high arch on a mantle, and I wiped it off, and I kissed it and said I was sorry. Never.
Did you lift it above your head, you know?
Oh, of course. I bring it out every spring now. I bring it to CBS in Manhattan, and I walk around New York with the Stanley Cup, and people shout obscenities at me and give me the finger.
Well, that's New York.
Yeah. So what do you think of this Kershaw injury? And we've been there before with him, and here we go again. I guess on a bright note, there's still time for this to be dealt with, and he'll be ready to go for the postseason, because you know they're headed there. But what has the reaction been in Los Angeles?
Well, actually, it's been kind of a cautious, you know, I thought people would be, you know, screaming and crying and ripping their hair out, but it's a little bit cautious in the sense that what the Dodgers are saying is that it was a muscle strain, it was not a problem with a disc in the back. And anybody who's ever had back problems is probably like nodding their head up and down right now, because you know how tricky disc problems and back problems can be. But if it was just a muscle strain, sure, it's a concern, but it may not be as serious as what happened last season, and it may not be something that is as serious, you know, serious enough to really have long-term bad impact for him.
So at least he was smart enough to realize something was wrong and not try to overdo it. He has been, as usual, brilliant self, 11-2 with a 1.79 ERA, 145 strikeouts, just 9 walks. I mean, I watch him every night he pitches. It's a pleasure, I think, to watch him pitch, and you get to see it all the time out there. But at least he was smart enough to shut it down, right?
Absolutely. There was no reason to try and push it. You know, an athlete like him, he has to be so in tune with his body. And as soon as he knows something is off, he was smart enough to say, "We got to shut this down." I think he pitched to one more batter or two more batters. And then he said, "You know, that's it." And that was the absolute smart thing to do, because if he had, you know, kept on going for another inning or whatever, then he really could have hurt by overcompensating for the sore place in his back. So he did the smart thing, and maybe that will pay off for him in the end.
All right, so now Brandon McCarthy went on the DL with a blister. I know they brought back Ryu tonight, right? He's pitching, and they're losing that game right now to the Twins. Were you surprised that they struggled against the Braves and that now they're losing to the Twins? Because I think they've been killing everyone, but are you surprised at all of these teams? Like, I mean, Atlanta, what they did to them?
Oh, a little bit, but you know what? The Dodgers were playing at such a pace for so long. It was inevitable that they were going to kind of, you know, fall off the edge a little bit at some point. You can't sustain the percentage that they were playing for more than, you know, for half a season or anything like that. It was just impossible. You know, but then they won the last game of the series, so it was not a complete loss. And, you know, there's going to be instances where the other team just outpitches them. I mean, it's still early tonight, and it's Bartolo Colon, so heaven only knows if that lead is up for Minnesota. But, you know, I think he's almost as old as Vin Scully, by the way. But, you know, the Dodgers have been consistent enough, and the batting, they've just got such depth everywhere in the lineup. I mean, every one of the starting pitchers, their opening day rotation, has been on the DL this season. But look where they are. Despite all that, despite all the DL, you know, usage, they are still where they are, and that's pretty remarkable. That tells you what kind of depth they have.
I think they're the best team in baseball, without a doubt. Now, do you believe the great Helene Elliott Willis from the LA Times, do you believe that they are actually engaged on either Yu Darvish or Justin Verlander?
I would say Darvish probably more than Verlander, because I think Verlander has a few more years left after this. Darvish is in the last year of his contract. But from what I understand, from what our guys have written, that, yeah, the Dodgers have been interested in Verlander. In Darvish has been their target.
Do you? We were talking about this last week on the show that they are playing baseball like they haven't played, frankly, since their great years, like the 88 year or even in the 70s. We were talking about the here in New York about the great, you know, Dodger-Yankee rivalry. We were talking to Elliot Kalba, MLB Network, that it would be great for baseball, again, if that were to happen again, like if the cyclical nature of sports, if we could get back to the days of the Yankees against the Dodgers. But I'll say this. I think that the Dodgers, Helene, are way ahead of the Yankees. I think the Yankees are in it. They're in a wild card situation. They've gotten some bolstering of their bullpen and some moves that Cashman made. But I still think it's the Dodgers that are closer to destiny than the Yankees. How do you feel about seeing this Dodger team being great again?
Well, it's funny because, you know, the longer they get in the playoffs, it won't be on local TV. So actually people in Los Angeles will be able to see it if it's on national TV. As I'm sure you know, the Dodgers TV contract is such that something like 70% of the L.A. area can't see the Dodgers, which is really ridiculous. But, you know, the Dodgers went for the big money on the TV contract, and, you know, they are using some of that money on payroll. So, you know, they're building the team that way. But, yeah, I mean, you look at this team, and again, you look at all the guys who've been on the DL, all the pitchers who've been on the DL, and still look at where they are in the standings, and that really tells me what kind of depth they have. You look at guys like Chris Taylor, who nobody really kind of knew what he was capable of doing, and he didn't even start the season with them. You know, he's filled in on an incredibly well. He's batted in the top eight positions in the lineup at one time or another, and he's played second, he's played short, he's played left, he's played center. Guys like that have made themselves spark plugs and made themselves so valuable that I think it speaks well to the Dodgers' chances of going to the World Series and certainly winning it.
So let me ask you about the Lakers real quick. Is this the most excited that anyone in L.A.'s been about the Lakers since the – frankly, the Shaq-Kobe years when they were winning three championships? I mean, and even, you know, the Showtime Lakers were a different scene altogether. That was as groovy as it gets. But is this the most excited they've been after watching ball play this summer in Las Vegas and the possibilities that exist now with this kid that's going to play? I mean, Magic and Blink and all these people and Walton are so excited. How is the mood about the fans and the possibilities?
Oh, absolutely. The excitement is at a really high level. As you mentioned, you know, the way the kid played in Vegas was just so impressive. And yes, it was against other rookies and second year players and, you know, guys who are desperate for jobs and all that, but nobody else put up the numbers that he did. You know, just watching him even learn over even the course of 3, 4, or 5 games was really interesting. You know, he still has to work on that 3-point shot. He's still not, his shooting percentage was awful, but he's smart. He sees the game so well. And that's the thing that you can't teach. You either have it or you don't. And he has it. And, you know, it's an incredibly difficult conference. But I think the Lakers are at least going to be more competitive and they're going to win more games this season. And that's all that fans want, just some sense of progress.
Lastly, I got 30 seconds, respectfully. Are you ready for Los Angeles to have another Olympic Games? And do you think it'll be 24 or 28?
I'll be on my rocker or off my rocker by then. I suspect it'll be 2028. I think for Paris will get 2024, and LA will get 2028, and they'll both say that's exactly what they wanted.
You're something else. I always love having you on the bench, Aline. Thanks so much for joining us on CBS Sports Radio. We'll catch up down the road, hopefully before you're on your rocker or off your rocker.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
All right, I'll see you. That's my buddy, Aline Elliott of the LA Times.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so you got some solid baseball matchups developing early in the week here, including, let's take a look at these, Milwaukee, Washington, Colorado, St. Louis, Atlanta, Arizona, New York's in San Diego, Pittsburgh and San Fran. On the other side, L.A., Angels at Cleveland, and then Kansas City, Detroit, Baltimore, Tampa, Boston and Seattle. Chicago against Chicago at Wrigley tomorrow afternoon. Southsiders against the Northsiders. Cincinnati at the Boogie Down Bronx. Miami's in Texas and Minnie's at the L.A. Chavez Ravine. So great baseball. Get every pick, every game, every day at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Our daily fantasy rosters hit. Our boxing and MMA snags are top shelf. It's the best price, the best results. Pro and college football coming soon. Sign up today at PharrellOnTheBench.com. So, Carver High, Game of Thrones. I saw the that whole scene in the on the water, the ship. They attacked the ship.
Yes, where Euron comes, Euron Greyjoy comes and gets everybody.
I didn't even know what that means, but I know I saw a lot of violence.
There was a lot of violence at the end of that one.
I mean, wasn't it like 10 minutes worth of violence?
It was a good long section, yeah. It was good.
Like, can you imagine them shooting that scene?
Yeah, that's well, they've done some pretty epic full episode battle scenes before, you know, a battle that takes a whole episode. That was pretty good for a 10-minute end of episode battle there. That was strong.
Mafia?
It was awesome. Yeah, I mean, it was probably not as epic as the one in the second to last season, the Battle of the Bastards, they called it, between the two guys. But it was still a great closing scene for that episode to see them just with fire flying everywhere. It was awesome.
Yeah, I watched it. I was like, this is crazy. I don't follow it like you do.
Yeah, I know all the characters, the backstory.
Really?
I'm locked in on it. Oh, yeah.
I even got a fantasy team going around that show.
Do you?
I wish I knew about that. That's awesome.
You draft characters, and the more kills they get, or the more times they, you know, fornicate or, you know, get power, like, you get points for it.
Really?
Yeah.
How's your team doing?
Terribly. I'm a dead last.
Really?
Yep. I made some bad picks early on.
So, what were you saying about the guy that dove in the water and didn't save his sister?
Well, here's what I am going to say. I don't know if we should be doing... I mean, some people haven't watched yet, maybe. I mean, I know it's been 24 hours, but... I feel like I'd be spoiling things for people that hadn't seen the episode yet.
Well, since when do we have feelings?
Yeah, you're right. So when Theon jumps in the...
should have said that before we started the conversation. He's like halfway through, and now he's saying, oh, wait, stop, even though we gave away the whole ending.
I just feel like he did that because it was his only option, and he knows that he can circle back maybe and save his sister. So there you go.
So you think he's going to come back and save her? You don't think she's dead?
No, I don't think he just jumped off the boat and said, screw all this. You know, I think that there was a thought behind it of, if I stay here, I'm just going to be finished. So let me try and see what I can do in another way. And let me jump out of here and
circle back.
Circle back and regroup.
What? And I saw that other hot, steamy scene with those two. Like, there was some nudity involved.
Yeah, there was some relations.
There was definite relations going on last night.
Oh, yeah. Your boy Grey Worm and the translator chick from one from Fast and Furious movies.
I don't even know what that means, but it sounds good.
The one who plays the translator in that in Game of Thrones was in, like, the last two Fast and Furious movies.
Oh.
So let me just get something straight here. So you don't follow along with this? You just pop in and watch what happens last night? Like, do you have any idea what's going on here?
No.
You're just popping in to watch, you know, the relations and the fight, you know, the big battle on the boat.
So what happens is on Sundays I watch other things, and then, as you like to say, I circle back, and then when I get in bed at like midnight, 1 in the morning, it's on again. They replay it.
Right. They run it back.
So I watch it then. I watch from
okay, but aren't you, like, interested in knowing why these people are in the positions that they're in?
I kind of know some of the stuff. Like, okay. I know the chick, the blonde-haired princess or
Daenerys,
whatever.
Yeah,
with
okay.
the dragons and everything. I know all that a little bit. I know the little, her little brother, the
Tyrion,
short guy.
Tyrion Lannister.
And then his sister, the other one, is
the queen. Right.
And I know the guy that...
Jon Snow, yes.
Who yelled at the guy that's always been the backstabber.
Littlefinger.
He shoved him against the wall yesterday and said, I'll kill you myself.
Right.
What was it? If you do anything to my sister when I'm
but,
gone.
But you know the names, but do you understand how all the pieces on the board have been put where they are right now? You're not up
to... No,
you
but
have
I, no saw
idea how
I saw
gotten
him
gotten
moving the
are.
Pieces on the board and, like, planning their wars.
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about, but I know. But I'm saying where everybody is right now.
No.
You have no idea. You're just popping in to watch the action and,
yeah.
the, and the relations. And
yeah.
You're seeing, okay. That's fine. That's cool.
So, but do you watch... Do you watch Animal Kingdom? No. Do you
no.
watch Ozark?
No.
What else
well,
are
Ozark
you
just came
on?
Out last week, so
what?
Not him.
I
well,
watched
the one
it.
That I'm really I'm upset with myself that I haven't started yet is right. Bloodline Season 3. I'm
oh,
upset
God.
About it.
Because I mean,
we've talked about how much we love Bloodline on this
but
show.
But that's just failure on your
that's,
part.
Well,
I don't even know
that's
when
part
you're going to watch it either.
I already have some time mapped out for it.
When is
you've
that?
You've been saying for 6 months.
I've earmarked some time.
When is that earmarking?
To start the first two episodes this Saturday.
Oh, so this Saturday, on my birthday, you're going to do it?
Well, it's my birthday weekend, too, this week.
Isn't there a UFC, John Bones Jones and,
yeah.
and Daniel Cormier? How are you going
to?
By the way,
you're going to pick Bloodline over that?
One of the worst hype-up interviews I've ever seen in my life watching those two guys the other night on Fox. Could you find two less personalities, those two guys?
Than Jones and Cormier?
Oh, it was terrible. Mafia was there, so he didn't see it. He was at the arena.
No, I didn't see it. They were just showing
but
the trailer.
But they showed it on Fox. They interviewed. They had the two of them talking to each other. It was brutal.
Really?
That's surprising because they hate each other. They've had great interviews about it. I'm
all
surprised
right.
about that.
All right, Greg in Southern Cali, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Pharrell, how's it going, man?
Hey, dude.
Hey, thanks for being you and keeping it real. Don't ever stop.
Yeah, man.
Hey, I wanted to pick your brain, get your opinion on a little NBA thing here.
Right.
Pernowski, I guess, name is the big guy coming out of Gonzaga.
Right. Yeah.
I can't get over, maybe I'm way out there, straighten me out. I can't get over he's got no run, no pub, ends up a walk-on. This guy's 7-plus, 300-plus. It's an aircraft carrier coming into the paint that basketball IQ, can shoot, can pass, double-teamed. I'm not saying Moses Shaq off the bat, but I'd love to see him get a chance. Maybe somebody like Pops. Isn't there a spot for
him? Didn't I just see him playing in the summer league or something?
Yeah, he got a walk on with Charlotte, I think. But I just can't believe that somebody can't make something out of that. I know the generic responses are big guys now have to be swingmen, shoot three pointers, but talk about clogging the middle, and you're not going to out. Track meet Golden State, so make them play your game.
Well, I don't know if this is accurate, but I'll be willing to say this, that look, I think that the league now is not really looking for guys that are big and fat, and that's what he is. He's just an enormous monster, Peterbilt-looking thing that's – and I won't deny what you're talking about, that he's got some game, and he can shoot and put it in the hole, and I also – I've also seen him terrible in the like in moments in games where in the NCAA tournament and such, he was bad. But whatever. I guess I could see both sides of it, why he didn't get drafted for physically speaking. His size is one thing. It's another thing to be that big and to be fat and slow and a liability in this day and age. They want guys that are, like, believe it or not, more like Davis and Boogie and guys that are, you know, certainly more athletic than him is what they're looking for. And that's probably the reason that they shafted him. But who's to say? I still think he can make the NBA. There's been many guys that have been undrafted that still make it. I mean, they only have two rounds. So, look, I still think he could be an effective player. We'll see if he makes it or not. I mean, in short order, I'm sure in the fall here when they start up, we'll find out if he makes it or not. But I think it's about athleticism more than anything else. And I think they were skittish on his, frankly, athleticism and his weight, and that he looks like kind of fat and out of shape. And they don't think that he can dance up and down the floor on an NBA court for a lot of burn without getting schooled. I think that's probably the nerves of the whole thing, where a team just was shied away from it. But obviously they realize he could play ball. The guy's got game. It's not like he can't play. I just think that they're looking for different kinds of athletes than that, to be honest with you. But thanks for hanging in there. I know you waited for 2 hours to talk to me, and you came back through on the back end. As Carver High likes to say, he circled back. Nice effort there, Game of Thrones style. 855-212-4227. Is Draymond Green in trouble? We'll find out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.